going on, everyone? You're listening to the Long Island Sound Podcast, your source for everything Isles and the only Islanders podcast to forget Jordan Eberle during the open night roster announcements. I'm one of your hosts, Damon Vetieri, and I'm joined by Kenny Iavero.
How's it going, guys?
And Ben Cohen.
What's up? What's up?
All right, so we're two games into the season. Isles dropped the season opener against the Caps before responding with a solid bounce-back win against the Jets. But before we get into that, how are you gentlemen doing?
Decent. I'm doing pretty good. Oh, all right. Well, you just cut me off. I'm just kidding.
No, it's all good.
I'll just go. I just got back from Hershey Park. Didn't tell my other co-hosts, so I think they're a little mad at me right now. But I went there. It was a good time. Went on some roller coasters. It rained a lot. But I did get to watch the Islanders beat Winnipeg from my hotel room, so that was pretty sweet.
Nice. So Kenny had the Hershey Squirts. What about you, Ben?
I actually was sick over the weekend, so it wasn't great. But on Saturday, my school's a cappella group drove up 2 hours north to Salem, so like the same Salem that's only famous because they burned people at the stake because they thought they were witches like a gajillion years ago, but is like somehow a cool town.
I was somehow like, it is cool.
No, but like it's actually the history is cool, but I just wouldn't expect that a random place north of Boston would have like a bustling downtown. It was actually really cool. They were advertising the acapella competition that we were in all over the town. Our acapella group, we busked. So for those of you who don't know what that is, and I didn't know
what that is before it happened.
Yeah, I didn't know what it was before it happened. But we bust, which is busked, B-U-S-K-E-D, which is when you like sing in front of public and put a hat out or something for people to put money in. And so we made I think we made $23 doing that, which is actually kind of cool. And then we did the competition that night, which was fun, but we were singing all day. So we got on the bus at 8 a.m. and we didn't get back till midnight. So it was a long day, and I think I got sick because of exhaustion and singing a lot. But
so like this is like all I'm picturing right now is like the movie Pitch Perfect, and that's like
or
that's
Glee,
just like
yeah, the show. Yeah.
No. It's totally like that. We joke about that all the time because this competition isn't an official one. It's called Haunted Harmonies. So if you happen to know of that, like we were there, awesome. I hope you liked us. Although it's unlikely because it's in a weird place in Massachusetts. But
that's not one of our 22 SoundCloud listeners right now.
Don't reveal the numbers.
We're come on, man. I mean, 2,200, you fools. I mean, come get some Eyes on Isles or whatever your other podcasts are.
But the actual like the official competition that we compete in that we look forward to every year and prepare for every day, that's called Isha, actually is Pitch Perfect. Like when you picture Pitch Perfect, that's what it actually is. So it's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool.
That's a great, that's an awesome way to start a hockey podcast. So I'm super excited.
Yep.
Well, I just had two margaritas, actress, so that's about it for
what's
me.
What's the actress's
I
mean, name? Pitch Perfect.
Anna Kendrick.
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
Well, here's what I want to know. Are you going to end up being like Andy from The Office, where you're going to like reminisce back, like when you have an office job, and you're going to be like, "Oh yeah, it was me and Broccoli Rob, and we used to battle out our harmonies." Like, is that?
It's funny because there's someone in our group named Huxley Rob, actually.
You see, this is what I mean. So just be careful. Don't go to Cornell. That's my advice to you.
I wasn't planning on it. I need someone that has more things going on.
Perfect. All right, boys, are we ready to talk Isles Caps? What do you think?
Yeah, let's do it, man.
All right. So the boys open the season against the Capitals, and I was kind of worried about this game from the beginning because the Caps are a good team, and they played a game already. They had a nice tune-up against the St. Louis Blues, so I was a little worried about this game. Isles drop it 2-1. Verana, who's been playing unbelievable the first couple of games of the season, gets the Caps on the board first. It was kind of like a partial 2-on-1. Buries it from the top of the circle. Varley played this game. I thought he played pretty good. Tough save to make on this one. I'll tie the score. 1-1, Devon Taves. Maybe the weirdest goal that we're going to see all season, even though it was the first game of the season. It bounced off like everyone's skate. It hit like three or four pairs of skates. Radko Gudas ends up kind of kicking it in the net, but it really wasn't his fault. It hit off of everybody's skates. 1-1. That was the only time the crowd was really had anything to cheer about. Really nothing going on in the second period until TJ Oshie buries a power play goal off of Brock Nelson's second penalty of the evening. And that was really it. I mean, it was kind of an uneventful game. There wasn't a lot going on. You know, I kind of thought the Isles got smothered in the third period for a team that needed to claw their way back into the game. They really kind of had the Caps doing to them what they usually do to other teams, which was just smothering them. There was no possession. There was no offense, really nobody that could break the game open. That's kind of what I saw. I don't know, Kenny, if you kind of saw it the same way or if you thought that they could have, you know.
Yeah, it was very, like you said, it was very Islanders-esque kind of. But, I mean, like you mentioned at the top, they already played a game. So it definitely looked like that. It was very unfortunate. Plus, I mean, the team that the Washington has with the structure and the talent they have, they're a better version of what we are. And, you know, it looked like a Barry Trotz team with Ovechkin and Backstrom playing against us in the third. So I think we could have won that game. We had our chances. That Samsonov guy played pretty good.
It's actually Samsonov, I think.
Samsonov?
I think you pronounce it Samsonov. Accent okay. On the so.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, he's a KHL guy, so we got another one of those in our pocket too. So hopefully we'll see our guy here soon. But he looked good. I mean, we hit two posts. It wasn't like a high-end back-and-forth type game. It was a pretty boring game. But what are you going to do? First game of the season, that's a pretty tough matchup.
It wasn't just me thinking the game was boring. I watched this game and the first period of the Jets game, and I was like, did I just stop liking hockey this summer? I really hope that I didn't just stop liking the sport that I made a podcast on.
Yeah. That's what happens when two teams play the same, play against each other. You know, like, it's like...
Yeah. They just canceled each other out and kind of nothing happened.
Yeah.
It's weird because you don't think that when a team scores a goal, I think the Caps scored their second on the power play late in the second. You wouldn't think that a one goal lead with 24 minutes to go or whatever it was would be decisive. Would be like so clearly decisive. When the Caps scored that goal, I was like, oh, they're probably going to win 2-1 or 3-1 on an empty netter.
Yeah, but it was like that game was like honestly, it was like two very, very good defensive teams playing each other. Yeah. I mean, as much as the Islanders got smothered in the third, the Islanders did that to the Capitals in the second period. The first 12 minutes, the Caps didn't have a shot on goal in the second period. So, like, they dominated the second period. It's just, you know, what worries me about when the Islanders play a team like the Caps is if they run into a hardworking team that has the skill set to break games open. And there's not many teams that are like that. I put the Bruins in that category. I put the Caps in that category. Like, just like big, tough teams that also have the skill. I don't think we match up well with teams like that. And that's what worries me. And I think you saw that in the first game. And again, it's first game of the season, so you don't put too much stock into it. But they just couldn't find a way to work around the Caps basically outworking them.
But I just want to say, I mean, I think Varlamov played pretty well. I mean, he did not – he looked like, okay, this guy is not – you know, he looks like he's going to keep us in games. He could definitely win us a game or two here and there. But I thought that he looked pretty solid for, you know – This is a completely different team playing in front of him, different system, different coach. There's an adjustment period for goalies too. And I think that from what I saw from him, I have full confidence that he could do, you know, in the same sample size, he can win us 20, 25 games.
Yeah. I mean, to your point, he had 26 saves on 28 shots, which is not bad.
He played solid.
Yeah. I mean, Ben, you see it the same way?
To an extent. I mean, I thought, the first goal was one that he should have stopped, and one that you get the sense that he would stop 9 times out of 10, and or maybe more, maybe like 19 times out of 20.
Can I just cut you off for 1 second? Lehner would have let that goal in too, though. Like those are the goals I was mentioning when I'm saying like Lehner, like yeah, he played sick last year, but Lehner let in that goal also. So you know, it's like, all right, like that you definitely need to stop it just as much as when Lehner was here, he had to stop it. But I don't think he's like a sieve where it's like, oh man, every time someone walks down, they're gonna score. It's just that's what separates Carey Price from Varlamov and these like high end guys. They're gonna let in that shot every once in a while. But that second goal that Oshie scored, I mean, that was, you know, the guy's on his knees through traffic. Our coverage wasn't even bad. It was like, you know, 10 times out of that shot, it's gonna miss the net or go wide. That was like very like
it's a good hockey player making a good hockey play.
Yeah, like there's nothing wrong with our penalty kill in that situation or Varlamov in that situation. So it's like, okay, like he let in one bad goal against a really good hockey team. We hit a couple posts. We had our chances too. He kept. That's what we need from Varlamov. If he's gonna play like that every time, I'm okay with that. Like,
for sure.
That's
and
a great
I think effort. Also there's clearly room for improvement because I think it was the kind of save that you would see. That you would see him making not on the first game.
Yeah.
It looked like he was jittery at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And that, but the most encouraging thing to me is after he let that goal in, he was like, all right, yeah, that's not going to happen again. Mm-hmm. I let in my stupid first goal and we're done here. Now we're sharp. Yeah,
but I don't, I mean, look, Jacob Vrana is a good hockey player.
He got a,
like, he had a good shot,
a piece of it. But I think it's one that Varlamov will want back. And it's one that Varlamov wouldn't have let in if he won't let in if he plays tomorrow against Edmonton. And we're
10 games into the season, he won't let that in.
Exactly.
I mean, look, he doesn't. He's going to have a big Butch season. Said like he would have wanted it back because he got a piece of it. But like, that was a good shot. Like, I'm all for, you know me, I'm all for roasting goalies when they're supposed to make a save. But like, that was just a good shot. And it was like a 2-on-1. So, I mean, you know, look, here's what I want to do. I want to read some of the stats to the game, and I want to see if you guys read into this any more than I do. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go over the basic stats, and then I want to get into a little bit more of the analytics side of things. So the game shots, Washington ended up outshooting us 28-26. Faceoffs were pretty even. It was 52-48% in favor of the Caps. Caps went 1-for-2 on their power play. Isles went 0-for-1. Hits, Isles had 29 hits. Caps had 21. Isles had 20 blocks, Caps had 11, and Isles had 10 takeaways versus the Capitals 3. So when you read this stat line, you'd think pretty even game, right? You look at the score, 2-1, pretty even game. The analytics is where it starts to go off the rails for the Isles. So the Capitals ended up finishing the game with 62.07% of attempts. So they had 62% of the shot attempts for the game. They had 65.77% high danger chances. And they had 66.42 expected goals. Where it gets worse is the third period. The Caps were over 75% in high danger chances for and expected goals in the third. Basically, those are different ways of saying that the Capitals dominated the third period.
For sure. It was definitely one of those where I think if you take the third period out, the overall analytics were kind of even for the first two periods, or even for the Islanders' favor, especially in the second period. I think maybe 12 minutes in, it was 9-1 Islanders. And it was the kind of thing where, like, not to the extent of the Jets game a few days later, but if the Islanders potted, for example, when Nelson had beaten Samsonov, and I think it was John Carlson who got his stick in the way, if that goal goes in, it's a completely different game. The Islanders played a really, really good second period. The shots were 9-1. I think I just said that.
Yeah.
But the third period was the one that was, I don't want to say concerning because again, it's the first period, the first game of the season. But it definitely wasn't a good effort from a team behind. But at the same time, I think this was a game that was clearly indicative of two teams that are similar. But one is in their second game of the season, and one's in their first game of the season.
And one has also got a loaded roster that's playing.
For sure.
I mean, I can't stress that enough.
Edmonton did that to us. That'd be a real problem.
But at the same time, you look at some of the things the Islanders did. Like, Pelikan Pulak shut down Ovechkin. He was a non-factor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Varlamov, like, if you look at the Islanders on the shell, like, Varlamov maybe could have been a little bit better on rebound control, but you think that's just like a first night thing, and I think it'll be gone. And the things that he probably could have been better on, the defense was there to get the puck out of the low slot. And then on the attacking side, I didn't think that Barzal played well. Like, I didn't think any one of the attackers was, like, especially bad. It's just no one was good.
That's the Islanders' offense in a nutshell. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, and you fast forward to, like, you know, where we're going to segue to with Winnipeg. Then you see, like, when everyone's, like, pretty good, we, you know, the guys that scored our goals, you know, it's like, oh, okay. But they're not. None of them's a superstar. So you might, you know, it's like none of those guys might step up and like carry a game. But then when everything's going good, you beat a team 4-1, 4-2, and everyone pitches in. We have 6 20 goal scorers potentially on our team. It's just like we're built different.
Yeah, I think this game showed some of the positive side of the way Trotz likes to play and the negative side. I think sometimes his system stifles creativity, and I think in a game where you're playing a solid defensive team and you need something to happen, we still play the same consistent game, which, again, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but when you're trailing...
It could be a downfall.
Yeah, but hold on. Yeah, I get it, but honestly, like with the roster we have, this is a perfect team for Trotz, because we don't have, like, what are you gonna do, Bailey, go do your thing, or Nelson? Like, they're just not good enough to do that. Maybe Barzell's the only guy that you might be quote unquote stifling, but you know, he doesn't
it's not to say that these guys aren't really good players. It's just that they aren't the kind of players that you say go off and do your thing, which I think is what you're saying.
They're not superstars. We just have a bunch of good guys.
Exactly.
Barzell's the superstar, but he's not even there yet. Like, he has another level to his game, and it might not happen with the guys we have on our team right now, to be honest. Like, you watch the Rangers play, it's like, wow. I mean, him and Panarin would be literally stupid in the best way possible.
That's what's so frustrating is, you know, I watched a lot of teams play this first week, and when you watch the Islanders, while I still love the consistency of their game and the structure, it's sometimes a boring way of playing. And I think that is going to lead into something I'm going to talk about a little later about the attendance. I think the fans, there's not much to get amped up about with the way that this team plays. And
yeah, it's like,
but Kenny, I think you called them a lunch pail team. Like, they are. They're absolutely a lunch pail team.
Yeah.
And some nights you're going to score one goal because, you know, now maybe that if they're playing with a little bit more juice and they're a little bit more open, like in the weight era, maybe they lose that game 5-3. So it doesn't really matter. But, you know, when you watch it, I thought defensively they played excellent. I think Varley had him in the game and gave him a chance to win, and they just couldn't capitalize. And the problem is, when you're dumping the puck and you're not winning the battles and you're not possessing the puck, you're not drawing penalties. So they never gave themselves, I mean, what'd they have? I think they had one power play the whole game. Yeah, one power play. That's not good enough. Like, you're going to say it's a push on 5-on-5 play, which it pretty much was, you know, we lose the game on an ocean. I mean, they had one more power play than us.
This is a close game. This is a close game against a team that's a cup contender, like, every year. So this is like, you know, the Rangers played Winnipeg and Ottawa. I'm not trying to sound like little, you know, butthurt that we're not 2-0, but we didn't play Ottawa the first game, and we didn't play Winnipeg the first. We played Washington, who already had a game under their belt. It was a close game. Everyone's hyped up. So the more hyped you are to expect to win at home, the harder it hurts. So it's like, after that game, I'm like, damn, we got killed. Then it's like, you really go over it. You watch the highlights again, the condensed game, look at the stats. And it was a closer game than it might have felt. Yeah, we didn't have any, like, real grasp or, like, crazy scoring chances. But that's what's going to happen. If that was Doug Waite, we get blown out. It's not even a game. With the roster we have to play like Trotz, like Trotz
hockey. I
think it
feels worse because we had a worse third, you know, and that's like the last, you know, that's what leaves the taste in your mouth.
Yeah,
right?
We
really just didn't do anything in the third period. So
we had our push in the second, and it just didn't, like, that deflated us, I think. It was like, what do we have to do, you know?
Yeah. Damon and Kenny, you both said it in sort of different words about how, you know, the system is good for Trotz. This is the team is good for Trotz to get a system around. And it was the kind of game where the main note I had was pros, Islanders hockey. Cons, Islanders hockey. To the extent where it was a really good defensive game, the Islanders only lost to the Capitals. I mean, if we're, to my mind, they lost because they made a couple more mistakes. The Capitals went to the box once and created two, three or four crazy Karens that led to the Islanders' one goal and didn't give up much else. The Islanders also didn't give up that much for a normal team standard, but when you're playing against the Caps, Nelson taking two penalties, Varley letting one in that he would want back, how realistic that is, you know, up for debate. We've talked about it. But the difference is the Islanders made like one or two more mistakes than the Caps did. And that's the kind of thing that for most hockey teams isn't going to be a crazy difference because more goals are scored, more chances are created. But when you play this type of hockey, mistakes become that much more important, which is why it was so obvious that it was the first game for the Islanders and not for the Caps. Because I watched the Caps game against the Blues, and the Caps were down 2-0 in like after like 10 minutes against the Blues. And if that game were against the Islanders on Wednesday instead of the Caps having their second game against the Islanders, I think it would have been different just because of the way these two teams play and mistakes being the kind of thing that you can cut out after the first game, but it's hard to in the first.
Yeah, if you thought Washington couldn't come to the Coliseum on our little home opener after watching the Stanley Cup ceremony coming from behind and winning in St. Louis, like, come on, guys.
Well, again, that's why when I saw, you know, how the opening, you know, how opening night was really going to shake out, that's why I was a little bit nervous. But anyway, so let's transition to, I would argue to say, a much better game, which was against the Jets, game two of the season. Al's ended up taking that one 4-1. I was a little worried in the first period. We didn't have any goals, and I'm sitting there saying, okay, this is a Winnipeg team that just got blown out by the Rangers, right? Rangers put up 6 on them, and the Devils put up 5 on them, right? Like, we can't score a goal here. They don't have Dustin Byfuglien, who my heart weeps every day that he's not in the NHL because that guy is just a YouTube legend. I just love watching his highlights. No Dustin Byfuglien. They lose Tyler Myers in the offseason. They move Trouba to the Rangers. And then in warmups, through some hockey god's luck, Josh Morrissey gets hurt. And now he's not in the lineup. And they've got this AHL dude that like just joined the team. They got him like off of waivers. I think Dahlstrom was his name. So we were going up against an AHL defense. So no goals the first period. It was kind of just like another boring period of play. And then I don't know what Trotz said to them or who spoke up in the locker room, but this team came out in the second on fire. And just they looked like the Isles from last season. So elite goal scorer Josh Bailey opens up the scoring on the power play. Beautiful pass from Bovee. Bailey opens up the stick, tips it past Laurent Brossoit, who played an amazing game in the net for Winnipeg, even though it was 4-1. Real nice goal by Bailey. Nice tip. Brock Nelson scores shortly thereafter. He gets his first of the season. Another nice play from Bailey. It was a little bit of a broken play. Bailey, nice little touch pass over to Nelson. Nelson right in the wheelhouse in this, you know, top to middle of the circle. His wrist shot, he doesn't miss from there. So he buries it. 2-0 Isles. Then Anders Lee doing what Anders Lee does, getting a deflection off of any part of his body that he can. This one went off of his foot.
He did it on purpose too, which is insane.
Yeah. I know.
Like he literally did.
Yeah. He's just, the guy's got talent. So he gets that off of Mayfield shot, 3-0 Isles. Then Patrick Laine, not much you can do here. So late in the second period, one of the nastiest shots I've ever seen. I mean, this thing just,
that was stupid.
Just bar down and the puck just hits the, you know, I mean, forget it. This thing.
Sure. You don't want to put Grice on waivers? Or that was acceptable. That was unacceptable.
That was absolutely acceptable. That was Laine being Patrick Laine. The guy can't do much, but what he can do is shoot, and he shoots.
This is why goaltenders don't get shutouts.
Yeah. Yep. It's true. And unfortunately, that was right after Letty rings one off the post on a real nice play. Rush up. I mean, and he hits the post.
Butch Goring said it about 6 times during the second period. The Islanders could have been up 6 or 7-0 in that period.
Yeah. Yeah, they outshot Winnipeg. They totally dominated the period. They looked great. So it's 3-1. And then finally, Bovee gets the last goal of the night. Really outworks the Jets D down low. Fights for a rebound. Gets it. buries a backhand, this off of a Brassard shot. I loved Bovi outworking two Jets D-men down low. That really's got to make you excited. And that's his third point of the season so far. So he's got three already. I'm just thrilled. So stat line for the game, and then I'll kick it over to you guys. Winnipeg outshot us 36-33. Faceoffs were dead even, 50-50. So that's good. That's two games in a row, and I know Trotz has been working hard with the team on faceoff wins. And so it's nice to see them. If they're losing, they're only losing by like 2%. It's more even than not. That's really good. That's going to keep in games. Isles power play went 1-for-1. Winnipeg's went 0-for-2. So Isles penalty kill 2-for-2. I thought their kill looked great during the game. They were out hit by Winnipeg 25-24. Pretty even matchup. Isles again blocked shots 19-8. Takeaway, Winnipeg had 10 takeaways to the Isles 7. Advanced stats, the Jets led the game with 55.74 shot attempts. Isles dominated on high danger chances, 67.82% of the high danger chances, and the Isles ended up leading with 56.44 expected goals. So all in all, a good game. I thought that this was typical Islanders hockey where they jump up, they ride the momentum, they score a couple goals, and then they just clamped it down after that.
Yeah, I think that's what it's going to look like when the Islanders win games, and then previous is what's going to look like when they lose games. Like, we're going to lose close games like that to Washington, and then when we win, you got guys like Nelson re-signed, gets a goal. Bailey re-signs, gets a goal. Lee re-signs, gets a goal. We have all these guys. Everyone wants to be here. Their second year here.
Oh, too. All four of them.
All four. Like, yeah, Beauvillier, too. Who, the kid's got a motor. I mean, we, like I said, it's his best asset. Is he going to use that motor for offense this year strictly, or is he going to, you know, that's a good thing about him. If he's struggling offensively, you just use that motor for defense. So,
I didn't
but if this kid's can score, it's like, dude, the kid's got skills, man. Like walking down the wing, beating Carey Price with a wrister, like one-on-one, like the guy's got skills, undeniable. So listen, I think that was a huge win. It could, like Butch said, it could have been 7-0. That kid Brisbois, I think it was. Is that Brassois. How you pronounce it?
Laurent Brisbois.
That kid played unreal. And we hit a post in that game as well. So, listen, that game could have been a blowout. And how cool would it have been after losing to Washington like that to go out and beat, like, you know, that 7-1. That could have easily been the case. And Greiss played well. So, boom, all you Greiss haters.
Yeah, that's true. I should say that the Jets had 36 shots on goal.
Greiss
makes 35 saves. He looked awesome. I think he should get the nod against Edmonton. I think he just played real, real well.
Sure. Yeah.
Guys, yeah. I want to give it to you. I did a 180 on the Barzal and Del Col thing. I think if those two are going to be in the lineup, both of them, you're right. Del Col should be on the second line and Beauvillier should be on the third line. You said it a couple weeks ago. And I disagreed, and I'm with you now. Imagine Del Col being on that on the third line. It just nothing
fits
would
better.
Nothing yeah. would happen ever.
Yeah,
you're talking about Beauvillier and Del Col because you said Barzy. So I didn't.
Oh,
know.
I said Barzy. Okay, I meant Beauvillier. Well, yeah, Barzal on the third line, right left wing would not work. Yeah. But when you look, Beauvillier doing all the hard work on that line, it. Honestly, that line looks really good. And I think it did it in both games. It was as much as the goal against Washington was a fluke that they were on the ice for it. I mean, Beauvillier and Komarov got assists on that goal. And as much as they probably didn't deserve assists on that play, I think Beauvillier and Komarov were two of the better players on the ice against Washington, working hard. And I think one of the biggest differences about Beauvillier is sometimes last year you'd see Beauvillier coming off the ice after a period or something, and you'd be like, wait, he was on the ice? And he's been involved. Even I wrote this down before even he got his 2 points against Winnipeg, was that he's involved. He's doing stuff. Even if he's not scoring, if he can be a third-line checker that scores goals, that's exactly what I could want from him. I think that's perfect for him.
And it helps the third line because yeah. now that we've got secondary scoring coming from that line, if Bovi can put up 20, 25 goals this season on the third line, that's huge because that's going to make up for, I think, the drop in production from the fourth line that we're going to see this year. I don't think
he's
20. Yeah, and if Bo gets 20 to 25 goals, then think about how many points Brassard's getting on that.
And they have already shown pretty good chemistry so far. Sure, I mean, sure. In a preseason, at least, it hasn't really carried over right now, but their line is playing good together. Brassard's points, that's going to come. Give him a month. This is, you know, he's the new guy, so there's an adjustment period for anybody. He's going through it right now, but he's got two great players that are going to, you know, he's going to get his chances. So,
and Beauvillier, I saw that.
Yeah, Beauvillier.
Sorry, go for it.
No, yeah, like Beauvillier reminds me of like a maybe like honestly just a little bit better version of Franz Nielsen, where he's really good defensively, but he could also score just as good. You know, he's really young, but you got to remember Franz Nielsen didn't break into the NHL until he was like, what, 25 or 6 or something? Like, he was much later, right?
Yeah, yeah. Nielsen was kind of a late bloomer, but when he was here, he was like, wow, like, you know, he had like veteran poise almost. So, no, I agree with that. I think we've needed a solid third line winger for a while, and I think you're starting to see Beauvillier. What I hope, because I've seen some people talk about it, and Ben, I'm glad you brought it up. I don't want him moved up. I want Beauvillier on the third line because I think him playing against some of the weaker D pairings is going to help with his confidence. And I think that's better. If he gets moved up to the second line, he's going to be playing more against, you know, 3-4 D men, where if he's on the third line, he's got a better shot of going against 5 and 6 guys. And you saw what he did, you know, against the Winnipeg Jets. He outworked guys and he was involved. He was around. Even when he wasn't, even that first game, I thought the third line was our best, was one of our better lines against the Caps. I just thought that they had good jump. They were all over the ice. And I thought they continued it against the Jets. And I'm glad to see that they finally got rewarded for that. And I was really happy for Bovey to see. I thought he made a real heads up pass on the power play for Bailey's goal. I thought that was really smart. And I thought that he had a real good, hardworking goal, to put the odds up 4-1. So really you kind of saw you saw Bovey at his best against the Jets. You saw his skill and his heads up, you know, play and his vision, and you saw him working hard, and that's what you want. That's exciting for this season. I mean, I think he's really coming out of the gates, and if he can just stay consistent, please stay consistent. We've got a real, you know, win on our hands, and we've got him locked up for 2 years for what, $2 million a year? That's awesome.
Yeah, for sure. And also, I'm going to preface this because it's a cool build up to something really awesome. Unless the odd chance that I just dreamed it, because I don't remember where I saw this. I'm also not sure if you guys have seen it because I didn't tell you guys about this, but I'm pretty sure that I saw, I don't remember whether it was on an Athletic article or a podcast or on Twitter or something like, I think it was Twitter, but in practice this morning, I believe that Dalcol and Bailey switched wings. Now to me, that means, so Bailey's on the left and Dalcol's on the right. So to me, that screams Dalcol's a lefty. He's not the long-term solution at two second-line right winger. Who's your second-line right winger? Oliver Wahlstrom,
yep.
And I think that it is not going to be a long time until that happens. And I think also the other thing that could come from that, and again, I saw this on Twitter, so I don't want to – I think I might have taken a screenshot and seen who this is from, so let me just get it up. I think it might have been
what that Josh Hosang is going to say. He wants to come back and he's going to get that spot.
That isn't what I was going to say, although that's a good segue.
I knew it, dude.
I mean, I knew we were going to get to Hosang at some point. We were talking before we got on about, you know, should we plan for to just talk about how Hosang's down?
Sorry, and, just hijack that moment.
Yeah, no. We were talking about, like, should we plan time for it? And Kenny and I were just like, no, it's going to come up at some point.
We were like, do we even put it in the news? No, look, Josh Hosang requested a trade. That's wonderful, kid. Good luck to you. That's about as much as I have to say about it.
He's going to call you out.
He's right. I don't think it's his fault. It's like, it's not going to work out. I don't think it's on anyone. He should go be a decent player who maybe has potential somewhere else.
Right. And Lou handled it the way that you want him to handle it. He's like, I'll shop him around. And if I can't find a trade that makes sense. I'm not going to give him away. I tried that in waivers and nobody wanted him. So I'm not going to make a trade that hurts the team. If there's nothing there, then he's going to report to Bridgeport.
Exactly.
And if he wants to go to Europe or wherever else, have at it. That's fine. That's
it's
fine.
So crazy. Look,
okay, so I found the tweet that I was looking for. So it's from Ryan Paulson. So if you are on Twitter, then you should follow him. His ad is rpaulsonphoto. And his idea was that if Dal Col's on the right side, then since Wallstrom's the long-term fix, the other thing that does is means that I would, at least personally, I would move Dal Col down to the right, down to the right wing on the third line. And then as, you know, Komarov's getting older and, you know, his contract's winding down, he's getting more expendable. He can become a scratch pad guy, a guy that's, you know, a replacement for any of the fourth line guys if they're out, and he can just become like a better Kunockel. And again, like I like Kunockel and I like him better than Komarov sometimes, depending on how Komarov is. But you know, at the end of the day, Komarov's got the cap, got the three, is it 3 million on the cap?
Well, I know we got him for another, I know we got him for this season and two more after that.
Exactly.
So I think it was 3 for 4.
Like if imagine second half of the season, third line of Beauvillier, Brassard, and Dal Col. Isn't that kind of appetizing?
If that means that Wallstrom's on the second line.
If that means Wallstrom's on the second line.
Yeah. Well, let me ask mm-hmm. you a question. Has Michael Dal Col done enough to stay on this roster right now? You've seen two games so far. Has he done enough?
The problem is, it's like, what is he? Like, is he a guy who is just going to, like, be really responsible defensively and score 10 goals? Or is he like, supposed to be the fifth overall pick that is supposed to be, like, a Nelson where you set him up in the slot and he's could score from everywhere? Because, like, he's not with the right guys to be playing that scoring role. And
second line, Kenny. He's a second line.
Yeah, winner. Right. Well, for that's two what games. He is. For two games. But that's only two games, though. Like, he hasn't been given that role previous to this. So, like, I would say, let me get to it. All right. I got to give him this month. Give him October. Let him play the whole month. Let Wallstrom play in the AHL for a month. That's okay. And by November 1st, if he doesn't have three goals, which is not impressive, but like, let's see something here. Like every week or so, he's got to be putting a puck in the net. If he's not, then, you know, he can't be on the second line.
And I think that's the plan. I mean, at least all signs to me are pointing toward that. Like, he's going to get this opportunity. And if not, we're going to figure something else out.
I just don't think as of now, two games. Yeah, he hasn't done enough. Yeah, but like it's two games. It's like
Well, did you think that because all the talk for all the preseason talk that we were
you know,
did you think that really the competition would be Wallstrom in Bridgeport against Dal Col in the NHL fighting for the second line winger spot? Like that
says how good of a camp Wallstrom had. That's how good of a camp. But this is the thing. It's like Dal Col has played in the AHL for a couple of years. He knows the Islanders' defensive side of the puck, what you do away from the puck, not just it's obvious who's better when they have the puck on their stick. It's no contest. I mean, if Wallstrom was on the second line every time one of them had the puck on their stick, you'd pick Wallstrom every time. But what's happening away from the puck? Like, you know, so that's where I feel like let Wallstrom play a month in the AHL. If he's not a disaster defensively, you bring him up because we need the goals. And that kid could be an X factor just as much as Beauvillier is an X factor.
Yeah, and I think he's going to be sheltered too. On that second line, when you're playing with Nelson and Bailey, who are pretty responsible on their own end, Wallstrom. And
yeah.
That lets Wallstrom do his thing, which is just rip the puck.
If what you're asking, who's better on the second line?
I'm not asking.
Wallstrom is 100%. I just don't think Dal Col has like lost it yet because he hasn't like been a complete disaster, but you got to give him like 10, 15 games to see. Like if he has no goals in 15 games, you see you later, dude. It's a waste up there. Like even
if he's playing aggressive, if he's playing involved, if he's playing solid defensively, do you think that that's not enough for him to stay?
Not enough on the second line, no. Not enough on the second line, no.
Yeah. Ben?
I agree with everything you guys have said, plus one thing, which is I think it depends not just on Dal Col's production, but on Bailey and Nelson's production when Dal Col is on their line. Because, like, I don't think Dell Cole was impressive against the Jets, but Bailey and Nelson were. They were two of the best players on the ice. And even if Dell Cole's not scoring points, there's an argument to be made that if the other two line mates are doing well, the Flyers have to be doing something right.
It looks like to me, like they're banking on Dell Cole's positioning based on his knowledge of the system to like pot him goals, because it doesn't look like he's a guy who gets the puck or creates anything, but Wahlstrom is. And I think it'd be beneficial to have Wahlstrom, a guy who is like Dell Cole has to, everyone has to be just like Dell Cole has to like fade into like no coverage for him to score a goal off of like him being in the right position, because Nelson and Bailey have to create everything else. Wahlstrom is going to create space for those other two guys. Dell Cole doesn't create space for Bailey and Nelson at all. It's the opposite.
Right. Like, well, and so, here's how I would look at it too. I think this is the kid's final audition, because if you can't find ways to get open for Bailey to find you, because Bailey's got great vision. If he can't find you where you're getting shots, then you're doing something wrong.
Bailey and Wahlstrom, I can't even like.
I know.
Like
I know.
It would be like, dude, they would be tic-tac-toeing around. Like it would be crazy. I honestly feel like.
And Nelson,
just
too,
please, like Wahlstrom, I mean, just like he's flip
a good,
it up.
Got a good pass and obviously a great shot.
Well, they all have good speed, and you know, I'm gonna talk about this a little bit, but I watched both of the Sound Tigers games this week too, because I'm insane like that. And Wahlstrom had a beautiful goal. He's got 2 points in two games, and you know his speed, I think, matches more of the foot speed with Bailey and with Nelson.
And he's physical too,
necessarily with Barzal. Oh yeah, he's a big kid. He's not afraid to muck it up at all.
No,
so,
dude, that's kind of what that line needs.
Well, that's the thing, right? And that was kind of that's kind of what's interesting too, is that I think it changes the dynamic of that line quite a bit, because I think Wahlstrom wants the touches where. You can probably count on one hand how many times Dell Cole touches the puck every game.
He doesn't touch it.
Very different. It's very different. So, yeah, I think it's interesting to see. And that's why I wanted to ask you guys about Dell Cole.
It doesn't just have to do with what Dell Cole is doing, because I agree with you that obviously Wahlstrom would be a better second line player than Dell Cole. It's not a competition. But what I'm trying to say is that if Bailey and Nelson are getting it done on that line, the general idea toward the line is going to be that if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So I don't think anything happens unless that line really isn't doing anything. I don't think it has that much to do with how much Dell Cole's doing.
Oh, I disagree. I think if you're playing a top six role, you have to be put in point. Like,
goals
have to come too. Like, it can't just be like, yeah, I understand. I understand like what you're saying, but I feel like the upside for having a guy like Wahlstrom on your top six with those two players specifically, like you're going to get more out of that line with Wahlstrom than you would Dell Cole if what you're trying to do is score goals in your top six. Like,
and you have to. Your top six has to score goals, and your top six has to be responsible defensively.
And I don't think Dell Cole could even take Komarov's spot. So, like, the whole, like, notion that, like, okay, well, Komarov could be a scratch pad guy, and we'll move Dell Cole down. Like, Dell Cole doesn't do what Komarov does, like, at all.
No, they're going to be interchangeable. If Wahlstrom's up, I think Dell Cole's back in Bridgeport playing top 6 minutes.
Yeah, but it's not going to be Komarov sitting for Dell Cole.
Right. Right, right. I think it's going to be a one-for-one swap.
Like, if Komarov gets hurt, Kunackle's going in.
Right.
That's
right.
Just reality. Of
yeah,
it,
right? Komarov and Johnston, I think, are the troops to fill in the bottom six spots, where I think Wahlstrom, Koivula, you know, those guys are the fill-ins for if anybody on the top six gets hurt. I don't think you're going to see Kunackle playing second line.
Not even Bellows? Not even Bellows.
No. And I'll get to that. But I think Bellows is like the fourth best forward on the in the prospect system right now. That's playing for the.
It's a big year for him.
He looks slow. He looks slow.
It's a big year.
It's a huge year for him. All right, so let's pivot now. Isles allowed three goals against in two games. So typical Isles fashion. When does Noah Dobson get in this lineup?
Ben, you want to go with that one first or
tonight? Tomorrow night. It'll be tonight when this comes out.
Against Edmonton? Who gets scratched then?
100%.
Who gets scratched?
Boychuk.
Boychuk? You think it's definitely
against Edmonton? Against his hometown team?
Mayfield. I think it's Mayfield.
Oh, I didn't think about that. You're right. I wanted it to be, I don't know, I always had it slated. I think people were thinking Dobson would start opening night. I was never in agreement. I thought that Dobson would be, I had my eye on this game when I thought, when people, when I was thinking about Dobson making the team, when's he going to start? I had my eye on this game for the longest time. I don't know what it is.
I don't think he's going to get in on Edmonton. I think you're going to see him probably. If I had to guess, I'd say Saturday against the Panthers.
Well, let me ask you guys a question.
I'm going there. Maybe I'll see his debut.
Let's forget about the one game sample. Is he going to be here all year? And if so, who are going to be the guys that he's going to be switching off and on with?
Yes, Boychuk.
I think
just Boychuk.
It's going to depend on injuries.
I think it's going to be Mayfield and Boychuk.
Yeah, it's going to depend on injuries. Dobson's going to definitely be here all season long.
Really?
I think Junior, there's nothing left for him there. Nothing left. They wouldn't have waived Hickey. If they had any intention of having Noah Dobson go back to juniors, they would not have waived Hickey. They would have probably had eight defensemen for the first couple of games.
I'm just wondering what you guys think as far as like who's going to scratch.
I think it's definitely Boychuk. I think Boychuk is going to get a lot more maintenance days, and he's going to be able to. We're going to be able to rest his body more, which he needs it. I don't think he's played bad at all, and so I don't think it would be any kind of demotion. I just think he's the grizzled veteran in the deep.
Yeah.
So I think he's gonna get some days, and then I think you remember what Trotz was doing towards the in the beginning of the season where he like scratched Pelech a few times, he scratched Hickey a few. If you're not playing well, there's another guy that's ready to step in that can take your spot in a second. So and it could be anybody. If Mayfield's not playing great, I see Dobson getting in if there's an injury or when there might be a scheduled game here or there when Trotz thinks he can shelter him against some of the some of the guys in the league. But he's gonna get his reps. He's gonna start playing, but. I was just curious what you guys. I don't see him making his debut against Edmonton. I think that
I could see
fast. I mean, you're not going to match him up against Connor McDavid in his first NHL game.
That also would be a bad idea. Yeah. True. Hold on, but who has? Are we home? I'm the worst Islander.
Yeah, we're home against. We're home against.
So
Edmonton.
We wouldn't be out there against McDavid unless we chose that situation to happen. So I can
not
see
always,
it.
Though.
I can see it.
More, there's a lot more.
Yeah.
Now where you
kids
can't
can skate though
change.
Too. I mean, like honestly, if you told me what defenseman he looks like the most right now, like just undeveloped him being this age and where he's at, he looks like a Pelech to me already. You know, so yeah, if Pelech's not
more
playing, yeah, no. But as of right now, like he's like a Pelech. He looks like Pelech out there. He could skate well. He's tall. He's lanky. He plays good defensively. He definitely has more of an upside. But as of right now, like, yeah, if Pelech's struggling a game or two, he'd be the most, like, interchangeable guy based on, like, the makeup of our team, you know? Honestly, looking at the stats, I mean, the only guy on our team that's a minus two is your boy Nick Leddy. So maybe he needs to figure things out.
I think Leddy's been playing good. I think he's been playing fine. Look, here's why I think it's Florida. Because I'll read you the next three games. The Isles play Edmonton Tuesday. Then they're at Carolina on Friday. The first road game of the season is at Carolina on Friday. Then Saturday they're back at home against the Panthers. So you've got a back-to-back situation. If he's going to get in one of those two games, and I think it makes more sense to play him at home where you can protect him a little bit more. Against Florida, then Carolina, who also they're making me look real smart right now, picking them to win the Metro. Because did you see what they did to the Lightning? They limited the Lightning to 13 shots on goal. The Lightning did not have a shot on goal in the second period the other night. That's how Carolina.
No way, really?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh wait, I saw that, and they also had one in the third.
Yeah, they got outshot like 44-13 or something, the Lightning. So I think if you're going to have Noah Dobson break in, it's going to be against the Panthers when you can control it. It's the second half of back-to-back. Maybe that's when Boychuk gets a rest. Or if some of these other guys get banged up. I mean, we talk about it all the time, but injuries, that's what forces the coach's hand more times than not with roster changes. If we're winning these games, you're not going to see Dobson in for a little bit. And that's fine. Let him keep playing. Let him learn what it's like to be a pro. We don't need to rush him along. So I'm totally fine with it. We're in such a good spot where we've got a blue chip defensive prospect, and our defense is so solid that it's like, all right, he'll get in when he gets in. And I'm fine with that. I really am.
Yeah.
So So you still think, Ben, you still think it's Edmonton?
I'm leaning against it now that you said that, now that I clocked that it's Boychuk's hometown. But
I could see Mayfield getting scratched too. I mean, there's no one on Edmonton you got to worry about, like, physically, that's going to, like, the game might get out of control. That, like,
and they're not a good team. Like, it's
Milan Lucic, and he's offended.
But they're clear.
Milan Lucic just punched a guy in the face. He's done for a couple weeks.
The Islanders
Wait, he's not even on Edmonton anymore.
Oh, that's right. James Neal's on Edmonton. Yeah, what am I talking about? Yeah,
he's with the Cavs. Anything about hockey, that's
right,
dude.
I don't know anything. Absolutely right. Totally.
What he just punched Dorov in the face.
Yeah, he did. He did.
That's pretty awesome.
I love Big Z. He's good. All right. So, Kenny, when do you think he gets in the lineup?
I just want to see him play against Edmonton, so I'm gonna go with Ben.
Yeah,
I think tomorrow. Let's do it.
The worst team of the first six games the Islanders play.
Yeah, the point you made about McDavid though is pretty convincing. That, like, but I mean, Dobson can skate though. Like,
he can. Yeah,
and we're controlling the matchup, so you know what? Hey, maybe he shuts him down. Like, why not? Like, let him play a big game. Like, give him a challenge.
Exactly.
All right, no, I'm with you. I still think it's the Florida game,
but you think
barring any injuries.
But yeah. Hold on, like just like who do you think it's just going to be based on who's not playing good, or do you think that like other like if everyone's playing okay and you got to get him in games because he can't be sitting in the press box all night, you think Ben, it's just going to be Boychuk, or do you think it's Mayfield? Like, who's the other guy? Because you can't. I don't think you could scratch Taves, Pulak, Letty, unfortunately. Pellick, even like who are the guy? Like, who is he going to be interchanging with?
It could be a trade.
You think there still could be a trade?
There's not. No,
they wouldn't have put Hickey through waivers if they were going to make a trade.
Yeah, they wouldn't have put Hickey on waivers. I don't think that's happening. No, I think it's going to be merit based, and I think, you know, they talked about Dobson having a little bit of tightness to start the season, so I think they were being cautious with him there. I think they want him to get more practice reps with the team and just acclimate to. You know, to NHL speed and that, yeah, I think he's going to get in. I think he's going to get in when they're ready to, you know, again, limit his, you know, and shelter him a little bit. So, and that's not going to be the case the whole season. I think they're just, it's going to be a game by game basis, really. Yeah, I mean, yeah. if they get their doors blown off one of these games, you know, if Edmonton comes out and lights them up 5-1 or something, then yeah, you might see Dobson in against Carolina, because why not? So, but if they're still playing shut down solid D where they're letting 1-2 goals, you know, then it's going to be a little bit harder for him to get in. But I still think that he's okay where he's at. And I think he'll get a game soon. I think he'll definitely get one in the first five, but it's going to be when Trotz is ready to put him in. And, you know, he doesn't like disruption. You know, Trotz, when they're winning, he doesn't make many changes to the lineup unless he absolutely has to. So,
yeah.
All right. I want to briefly talk about this because it was a trade rumor that came up, and I know rumors and all that, and it was posted on Hockey Buzz, so Eklund, so take it with a grain of salt. But I was more curious because you guys felt a little differently, I thought, than I did about this. So there was a trade rumor that started making the rounds before the Jets game, and it was they were saying that the Jets and the Isles were involved in a trade, and it was going to be Nikolaj Ehlers for Ryan Pulock, Josh Hosang, and a second from the Islanders. Now, Kenny, you said do it because you thought that we needed some offensive punch. I was more gun-shy because I said you can't just give up your number one D-man. I don't care how deep we are. After a while, you're not deep anymore if you're moving players. So, Kenny, I wanted you to kind of talk about why you thought that you would make that move, because I just felt like it was a little bit of an overpayment.
So I'm going to backpedal. After thinking about it a little more, that was before we won that Winnipeg game. I was a little depressed about, you know, us being 0-1 season opener. I hate starting a season like that. But yeah, I mean, that seems like a good trade that, you know, for Winnipeg, but I think it's too much. If this is 2 years from now and Dobson maybe looks like, you know, he's going to be the guy he's supposed to be, and Bodie Wild also look like a stud, then maybe you can get crazy and, you know, shop for a need. But I just don't think Ehlers is good enough for what we're asking for. He's never even had 30 goals in the NHL. Not to say he can't do it, but I just don't think he's good enough for
he's
giving
fast,
up guys.
He's young and he's cheap, though. They got him locked up for 6 years at $6
million. Yeah, but Pulak is just fast. As – yeah, yeah, okay. But, you know, Pulak is also a similar age, way cheaper as far as, like, value to the team. I don't even think Pulak's going to get $6 million a year. Like, I can see him getting, like – $5 million for 8 years, like something crazy valuable, because that just seems to be like how we roll. So I wouldn't do it. No, I would backtrack. It was just a gunshot. It was like a good little moment I had. I'm like, yeah, do it, because I want goals. But no, I can't. You can't give it up for that much.
Yeah. Ben, what about you?
No way. I'm with you. Pulak, he's too good. I mean, you saw what he did to Ovechkin. Like, it's not anyone, it's Ovechkin, and just the first game of the season. Ovechkin tore up the Blues two nights before. Not tore up, but I think he scored, right? I'm not crazy.
Yeah, no, he did.
That game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the same Ovechkin that scored against the Stanley Cup champions was invisible against Ryan Pulak, who also has room for improvement on a power play, where he is gonna, I think, had 4 goals in the power play last year. I think he'll double that this year.
The power play looks much better, so you might be onto something. Moving Letty off the quarterback spot, I'm so glad Hiller came in after like 1 week. He's like, yeah, no, you're gonna play. You're gonna be a bumper. You're not quarterbacking this.
I kind of like it. Yeah. I'm interested.
Oh,
in
you don't? Oh, you like it? Like, of course, this guy Letty's a disaster, dude.
All right, so I definitely would not do it either. I just think it's too much. If it was Taves or because I would do that. If it were Mayfield, I would do that. No, I wouldn't do it with Ryan Pulak. Not our number one.
Yeah, but that was also a second round pick and Hosang. Even though we think Taves, I mean, like I wouldn't do like a Taves a second and you really would do that.
I think you're undervaluing Ehlers. He's a very good player.
No, he is very good. Like, fast. He I can need play to with see bars. Dobson play a couple of NHL games before I'm giving up one of my top six.
Yeah. And I'm sure that's, yeah. And I don't think, again, these are unsubstantiated rumors and you see nothing happen. So I just, yeah, it was just something that I was curious about. Because I saw a lot of the fan base was divided on it. So I wanted to wanted to bring it up on the show. Now, I kind of alluded to it earlier, but I did watch some of the Sound Tigers. Can I just tell you guys that Holmstrom, man, like, I am so impressed. This is the kid's first couple of games in North America. And, like, he is breaking up passes. He's reading the play. He stripped a few plays. Like, he's
18.
Real solid.
He's 18 years old.
Yeah. He was so visible. He was so visible in these games. So I thought... For sure, I thought that Otto Koivula looked great. I mean, it looks like he's just cruising out there. He's so confident. He's so comfortable. He's our number one center for the Tigers. He just looks good. Wahlstrom, he's doing his thing. At one point against Hartford, Thompson moved. And so the first line was Bellows, Wahlstrom, and Koivula. And I was so excited for that line. And they came out and they got scored on. And I was like, oh. Okay, Kiefer Bellows needs to really work on his skating, because he is slow out there, and I don't think he's what we need. He is not a good fit for the Islanders, because we need speed right now. And I'm telling you, I think he's fourth on the depth chart. I saw Holmstrom making more of an impact in these games. Again, just reading the play, solid defensively. Now you could tell when the other team is cycling. He's still hesitant because he doesn't know the systems yet. Like he's second guessing himself, but his natural ability to read the play and to strip players as they're coming down and trying to, you know, deke him out. He's just like Datsukian almost, and how he was just stripping the puck. Like I was very impressed with his defensive play. And that surprised me, because I didn't see much of that in you know, training camp, just because it was his first couple of games and he was hurt. But this kid looks good. He looks real good.
Hey, why not us, man? Everyone else seems to like get a guy who is just under the radar, you know, criticized pick, you know, guy probably could have went later, but why not, man? Why not us? Let's cross our fingers, because this kid, him even choosing to stay here. Listen, the kid wants to play. You're an NHL player. You're a prospect. You want to play. He stayed here because he knows he can do this. He wouldn't have come back to the AHL to ride a bus when he could be in Sweden or somewhere else playing with a professional team, probably playing more minutes. But this kid wants to earn a spot here. He wants to be here. That's a good sign. So, and he's 18 years old. That's amazing having him in the AHL with that little like rule they have for, you know, what is it? A foreign prospect, or there's like some sort of rule where you could play as an underage or something. Like that's great that he chose to be here. So this is not a forced contract thing. He said, I want to be here. So that says a lot to me. You know, look at the other guy wants to get traded. So see you later. We got Holmstrom.
For sure. Now, Ben, you kind of teased us during the week with a hot take you had, and I think this is a good time to bring it up. So go for it.
You told me in text that I don't think it's that hot anymore, but I thought of it in August. I just was kind of afraid to say it. I don't think Kiefer Bellows is going to play a single NHL game for the Islanders. I think, you know, you look at these Ehlers for Pulak, Hosang in a second rumors. Those are the kind of trades that Kiefer Bellows is going to be in one day. And it's going to be before he ever makes an NHL roster. And that's my hot take of the week.
I can't argue with that. I really look, I have been so pumped for Kiefer Bellows for like maybe I came in too hot on him because I knew what he did with Portland. And I was so, so pumped because I just thought he was a natural goal scorer. And I thought he had a great camp last year. And I thought he had an abysmal AHL season last year. And I thought he had a very uneventful camp this year. And I think so far, watching him play the two games, he's chasing the puck. He's not controlling play at all. And that worries me. It worries me that he's the type of kid that needs others around him to make the plays so that he can finish it when he should be out there and he should be banging guys. He should be, you know, he played aggressive. He had the one preseason game. I thought he played real well, where he was pretty aggressive. But other than that, he just hasn't shown a whole lot. And if he has another season like he did last year, I think there's some worry there.
Yeah, I don't even want to believe it because I also had pretty high hopes for him. It's too early to tell. Let's just see how it played out. Like, yeah, he had a bad camp. It's easy to be like, well, that's just going to sum up his whole year. But he definitely visibly did the eye test. He needs to pick it up for sure. It doesn't look promising. But hey, you look at a guy like Dahlkal, and we wrote him off a long time ago, and he's somehow on the other second line right now. So I'm going to give him one more year before I hit the panic button.
I want to be wrong. I want to be wrong.
Me too. Yeah, I want you to be wrong too. But I agree with you right now. It's like you can't – like I can't sit here and be like, you're wrong, because he has not shown a single thing since being a professional, being drafted by the Islanders to show that he's going to be here. So you're right, but I don't – I'm going to hold off with jumping on that 100%. Just let's see how this year goes. And we don't need him right now. We got other guys, so – it's a good position to begin, having guys like Wallstrom and Koivula and probably Yost ahead of him at this point. So whatever.
And worth noting, the Sound Tigers did drop their first two games. They lost. They got the doors blown off them in the first game by Springfield. Like they lost like 5-1, I think. And the second game they lost in overtime to the Wolfpack. So, you know, they're a young team. There's a lot of new faces on that Sound Tigers roster. They don't have Bodie Wild playing yet. He's still got the high ankle sprain. I think he's going to help their blue line a lot. Aho, I just think, has really taken a step back. I think the Sound Tigers' best defensemen are probably Hutton and Wotherspoon. I know Van de Sample's hurt. I know Wild is hurt, so that should help them a little bit. But they're a young team. They're going to have to gel a little bit. But I don't think Wallstrom's going to be on that team for very long. I think he's just showing too much, and he's going to continue scoring, I think, at the rate he's scoring. And that's great. That's real exciting for us. So you boys have any parting thoughts before we set sail on this episode?
We had a reasonable time today.
We did. We kept it pretty concise.
Yeah. And it's going to be good because by the time the next podcast drops, we're going to have three more games under our belt with Edmonton on Tuesday and then Friday, Saturday, back-to-back, which the Islanders, one of the best teams in the league, back-to-back. We do not lose that second game almost ever.
That is ridiculous. I'm also going to the second back-to-back. So pumped.
Let's keep it going then.
Yeah. We got to win the Edmonton game because Carolina and Florida back-to-back, those are not easy games. And at Carolina, they're a scary team. I didn't really talk about the attendance too much, but we got to get more people in the barn for Tuesday's game. They had less than 10,000 people against the Jets.
Yeah.
Second game of the season. We could
talk. Yeah, Yankees, it's like football season. Once it'll get better, especially if we're still in the race. You know how it is around here. We're like last in line as far as like casual sports fans going to games.
Yep. So the upcoming schedule, again, we talked about it. Tuesday at Edmonton, Tuesday against Edmonton, then Friday at Carolina, Saturday home against the Panthers. So I'd like to see the boys take 2 out of 3. I don't care which ones they are, but
maybe we were talking about how we want Greiss to play against Edmonton, but maybe how good Greiss is against Carolina means Varley will play against Edmonton. Actually,
I don't think there's a bad choice. I think Greiss played, 35 saves on 36 shots. That's a good night. But you also know that Greiss, you play him too much and he ends up having one of his stinkers. So maybe you go right back to Varley and then, yeah, Ben, you're right. Maybe then he always plays so well in Carolina. Maybe that's the plan. We'll see. Trotz has been playing a lot of games lately. He had both goalies go off at the same time after the morning skate, like against the Jets. Like, he was playing some head games. So he's definitely got something up his sleeve, I'm sure. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate and we love the support. Make sure you subscribe. Leave us a review. Again, SoundCloud, iTunes, Anchor FM, Spotify, you know the drill. There's more and more of these Islander podcasts popping up, so we appreciate each and every listen. For Ben and Kenny, I'm Damon. Don't forget, hit us up on Twitter, at @LISound_is Ben. I'm at @KaijuBlue13. And again, for Ben and Kenny, I'm Damon. Thanks for listening. Later.